إن كنت تعلم يا نعمان أن يدي قصيرة عنك فالأيام تنقلب اليوم تعلم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الأحد القهار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، today at Al Bayan, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we have a very esteemed guest, someone who has no need of any introduction insha'Allah, our beautiful brother and Fadilat al-Sheikh, Abu Taymiyyah Hafidhahullah. Now today, Assalamu alaikum Sheikh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Sheikh, today is actually the first time
firstly,
I'm actually doing it.
Anta fadilat al-Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feek.
Jazakallah khair.
Allah yibarak
feek.
Sheikh Khalid, Isa, the rest of the Mashaykh, our Sheikh that was right here.
Sheikh Nidal, mashallah.
Yeah, may Allah bless Sheikh Nidal. That's a special place in my heart, man. Wallahi, every time I see him, you know, inshallah, ahsibuhu kadhalik. I hope he's from one of those of the Mashaykh who, when you see, you remember Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Hey, subhanAllah. Yeah. He was one of the first reasons why I actually started doing da'wah here. Sheikh After Nidal? I graduated 3 days yeah. later, he's the one who pulled me into the masjid. Yeah. This is the first masjid that I, Masjid Azhar upstairs in Belmore.
Yeah.
Is the first masjid that I started doing my da'wah after I graduated.
Yeah.
I actually got my walima done here.
Allahu Akbar.
No, it's like, it's like
I came here by the way as well, by the way.
Yeah?
Huh? 2 years ago I came here.
MashaAllah. Yeah. It's not the first time, obviously, Sheikh. We love you here, Sheikh. Sheikh, we got a bunch of questions. We're short on time. But today, يعني, we want to get a few things out of the way.
طيب.
First things first, Sheikh, you know the importance of seeking knowledge under people who you know. The most important thing, though, is what is your name, Sheikh? يعني, it could be Mubham, you know what I mean? Abu Taymiyyah, what's your actual name, Sheikh?
My name is actually Muhammad.
Muhammad.
My name is Muhammad, yeah.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So, خلاص, Muhammad Abu Taymiyyah.
Muhammad Abu Taymiyyah.
MashaAllah.
Muhammad Al-Jailani.
Muhammad Al-Jailani.
Sheikh Al-Jailani or Al-Jailani? Al-Jailani.
Al-Jailani. You know. MashaAllah. I was not going
to
say
But they say it's more afsah to say Abdul Qadir Al-Jili, who was, by the way, a Hanbali Sheikh, يعني.
MashaAllah. Allah yafatkum, ya Rab. First one's out of the way. خلاص, that was the easy one. You know what I mean? Now, Sheikh, you studied both in Yemen, in Dammaj, and you studied in Saudi. Just quickly, which one do you prefer?
Wallahi, spending time in Medina were the sweetest days of my life.
Yes, salam.
I don't think it can be compared to anything. You're in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid. Every other day you can go there. Yemen, honestly, was a pleasure, right? It was a wonderful experience in seeking knowledge. Alhamdulillah, I benefited from the mashayikh over there, but I would have to say that, you know, being around the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid and also the Haram al-Makki was the highlight of my studies career, if you want to call it that. Yani.
MashaAllah. Yeah? Yeah. Sheikh, during your study, if you had to look back now, with the pleasure of hindsight, what's a mistake that you might have done that you look back now and you said, if only I had done this? I know يعني, we don't open the door of low and what ifs, but just so we learn from our mistakes and that you could help someone else learn from their mistakes. What's something that you could say that this is something that I would change to not make that mistake, because that was something that I fell into because of maybe now, you know, you've moved on past.
Yani listening more to those of experience, right? Those of experience. I remember when I came back to give da'wah, some of the elders, they would tell me certain things to look out for. And sometimes we as youngsters think that we know better. It reminds me of a statement, or in fact, a line of poetry. إِنَّ الرِّجَالَ نعم No, إن الرجال ناظرين لساعة كيف thinking of that يعني. I've been quoting that a lot. إن الأمور إذا الأحداث دبرها دون الشيوخ ترى في سيرها خللا. If you see that only youngsters are taking control of the situation without really consulting the elders, you'll always find that there's a flaw or there's a deficiency in that which they're trying to accomplish. So I really wish I listened to some of the elders a lot more, يعني, especially at the beginning stages of my da'wah. But you live and you learn. Like I see some of the students right now, extremely passionate, those who are still in Medina, they tend to be extremely opinionated. He should do it like this and he shouldn't do it like that. Habibi, you have no idea, right? You have no idea when you're, you know, in the midst of everything that is taking place. You know, sometimes the pros and the cons that you need to take into consideration, al-masalih, al-mafasid, al-nadhar ila al-ma'alat, wa ila akhri, looking at how things may eventually turn up. It takes a lot of thought, a lot of consultation, يعني. There are brothers, du'at, experienced individuals that are looking at this collectively while you're sitting in al-Madina, right, completely out of touch with the situation at hand, and you're commenting, right? SubhanAllah, I've seen over time a lot of brothers, when they come back, just being able to give a reminder after the salah, right, becomes tough for them. And that's when they begin to realize, right, how difficult it is to give da'wah. Well, just to give a reminder, you know, the stage fright, and it's not an easy thing, right? Even that requires quite a bit of practice and training. And that's when they realize how difficult da'wah is. And you see them subsequently becoming so much more humble, right? Take it easy, brothers, right, who are still studying. You're going to see, inshallah ta'ala, how difficult it is at times to make certain decisions. You're not just dealing with students of knowledge anymore. You're dealing with people of different persuasions, you know, leanings, backgrounds, walks of life. You've got the elderly, you've got the youngsters, you've got the women in the community. You've got all these kind of people that you have to deal with. And sometimes you have to make a decision for what is best for everyone, taking into consideration legal maxims, right? Allah musta'an yani. So this is why, my brothers and my sisters, and a daiman, I always say to students of knowledge, it's important before we go back that you have a mentor. Someone that you can refer back to before you end up making rash, harsh decisions. Right? I myself, wallahi, and I'm not saying this because I'm sitting here in this masjid. Wallahi la. And he's not here anyway, so it makes it even more easier. Two people that I benefited from so much by just looking at their dealings with the people. Number one, Sheikh Abu Osama. You guys heard of Sheikh Abu Osama Dhahabi? He's come here multiple times. The American Sheikh, huh? That used to be Imam Green Lane Masjid and then Leeds, and then he comes here every now and again. American, but he spent a lot of time here in the UK and left. At times I would visit him, or he would invite me to his masjid, right? Even though he has, like, maybe he's older than us. He's older than us by over 20 years, maybe even 30 years. He graduated from the University of Medina in 1993. Right? 1993. Just the people skills, the way he deals with them. Sometimes it's a harsh person, or sometimes there's that individual who's tiring the living daylight out of you. Right? You can't just expect to barge through a community and expect them to change over 24 hours. The Eiffel Tower, my brothers and my sisters, it wasn't built in 24 hours. It takes time. So that's a fen in within itself. Wallahi, it is a science in within itself. It's not something that you will find in books all the time. People's skills, how to deal with them. And likewise, second brother, Sheikh Muhammad Ali. Just watching the way he'll deal with the muadzin, the way he'll deal with other pillars of the community, right? He may be more knowledgeable than everyone, but sometimes you have to hear the old man out. Huh? You have to show him a level of respect that is maybe different to your other engagements and your dealings. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullah alayhi, you know what he says, my brothers and my sisters? Ad-deenu kulluhu khuluq. The whole religion is what? Etiquettes and manners. فَمَنْ زَادَ عَلَيْكَ فِي الْخُلُقِ زَادَ عَلَيْكَ فِي الدِّينِ. Whoever surpasses you when it comes to etiquettes and manners, he will surpass you in the religion.
Something that's probably touches on that, not just Medina students, but I reckon يعني students that are in the UK talking about Australian issues, Australian students talking about UK issues, or Americans in about UK, and يعني you have no clue about what's the actual folder that's happening.
Habib, should I tell you something? I went to America, right? And wallahi, it blew me away of how big the place is. Like each state is like a country. Like when we want to travel from the UK to France, it's maybe like an hour flight. To get from one state to another, you're looking at maybe 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, depending where you're flying from. And sometimes you just have that one Islamic personality there. He may have mistakes and whatever have you, which is of course a problem, but you have to take into consideration he's like the only source of light.
If not him, then who?
And يعني, if you take this guy out of the equation, Habibi, you're looking at Ilhad. You're looking at people becoming liberals and whatever else it might be. Right, so I began to see things that I would have probably not seen if I was still in the UK. UK, mashallah, a lot of places are Dar al-Hijra, Habibi. And you go to Birmingham, you find like 10 masajid in the same area, Coventry Road. Right? Everything is there. Right? So, you know, when you travel, fasiru fil ard, right? Fanduru. Go and travel the earth. Wallahi, you will see things that is completely outside of the bubble. And then you look at Twitter as well, X. They're in a bubble, man. They're in a bubble, honestly. They have no idea. It's so easy to be opinionated about what is happening here and there, and you have no idea what that person is going through when making those decisions. As you mentioned, right? In fact, what you mentioned, Sheikh Farhan, and by the way, I really admire Sheikh Farhan. Wallah, he's one of my very good friends, and I was very touched in how he treated us when we came here. You know, he's the sheikh of, well, one of the mashayikh here, and he's running around serving everyone. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless him. And it's what you just basically mentioned is very similar to what Ibn Abidin al-Hanafi, al-Qarafi, al-Maliki, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, and many of the contemporary scholars have mentioned with regards to knowing the circumstance and the environment that you're going to be commenting on. Right? I remember, subhanAllah, Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh mentioned something very interesting, right? And I've got it as well. He was talking about how you have someone or a sheikh on air who's answering people's questions. An individual comes from America, asks this question, and the sheikh who lives in the Khalij ends up giving an answer, not taking into consideration that this individual is around mulhidun, atheists, non-Muslims, and whatever have you. He's in the lands of the kuffar. He may end up giving him an answer, right? That is completely out of touch with reality over there that they're facing. And, you know, I'm not saying that we're disconnecting from the scholars of the Middle East. Not at all, right? Sometimes, in fact, the sheikh in the Middle East may give something or give a perspective that you're not aware of, and you can benefit from that. But sometimes you find that the scholar of that locality has a better conceptualization to the ins and the outs, the intricacies of the situation, and he may well be in a better position to be answering that question. Wallah, even now, as I'm doing my master, sometimes I speak to some of my mashayikh who teach me nawazil, modern day fiqh related issues, and you know what they say to me? Akhi, that's an answer I can't give you. You guys are in a completely different world. Wallahi, this is in Riyadh, Jama'at al-Imam. Right? You have your own scholars, go and ask them. That's the kind of answers they give us. SubhanAllah, even Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, what do you say? وَمَنْ أَفْتَى النَّاسِ بِمُجَرَّدِ الْمَنْقُولِ. Whoever gives a fatwa solely based on what's inside of the books, without taking into consideration the awa'id, the adat, the azmina, the amkina, you know, the place, the time, also their cultural practices and their traditions, and how they live their lives, this person, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ وَأَضَلَّ. He has indeed gone astray, and he's misled others as well. And he compares him to a doctor, right, who just basically prescribes everything based off what is found in medical books. Akhi, you're going to end up killing.
Yeah.
Right? It's extremely, extremely important. It's good that you mentioned that and brought it up. And even now, I'm here in Australia, and people are asking me questions. How many a time, I think you've witnessed as well, I would say, go and ask your own mashayikh. If someone asked me that question in the UK, I know what I'm going to tell them. But here, you know, there are intricacies. I've only been here for a couple of days. It's not right for me to come into Australia and start giving out fatawa, right? Imposing upon the people when it completely goes against what the mashayikh of this locality have probably issued in terms of verdicts. Right.
يعني, I remember when we sat with Sheikh Abdullah Shamsan just recently. He gave us the Sulaiman Thunayan, and he said the exact same thing. He's like, "You're not in Medina, you're in Australia. You're in Sydney. Don't think that you're in Medina." Subhanallah. Yeah. I think this is something that a lot of people don't understand, but there's a lot of wisdom that has to be involved in this stuff. But Sheikh, يعني, something that I have realized specifically with you, knowing you for like probably close to like 8-9 years now, Allahu A'lam.
Yeah.
When you came to Medina, something was very unique. It was probably the only time, the first time and the last time it's happened. Yeah.
Taif.
I remember I was in the Arabic Institute.
Uh-huh.
And the brothers around me, they were like, Abu Taymiyyah's coming today. And I'm like, who that? Who's this guy? And they're like, oh, you don't know who this is? And I'm like, and then they showed me a video, and I think that was the time that you were doing some stuff in the UK. And subhanAllah, you were known when you entered the university, right? And subhanAllah, from that day, subhanAllah, they were the first ones to introduce me to you. And then another side was like, oh, watch out for Abu Taymiyyah. Right? It started, subhanAllah, day dot. Yeah? And I genuinely think that you have been oppressed. Yeah, I genuinely think that there has been an element of dhulm that has been done upon you. And I personally, my assessment of it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what's in the hearts, but the mansha, the beginning point of it is hasad, is envy. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all evil, ya Rabb. Sheikh, you have a bunch of haters. You have like haters, bruv, like next level, yeah? How do you deal with the haters?
So if you want to talk about what was happening in Medina, I categorize the people into three, right? Well, I categorize the people into three. You have those who might have been a lot more senior than myself in magister, doing their masters or even their PhDs. They would come to me and say, Akhi, jazakallah khair. They would show appreciation and thanks to the work that we were involved in, right? At the end of the day, when you think about it, right, the one, my brothers and my sisters, who really cares about Islam prospering, like wherever the da'wah or the ilm comes from, yani he's going to be happy and satisfied about it, right? It doesn't always have to come from his tongue. In fact, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned this from the signs of sincerity. Whether it comes from Sheikh Farhan or it comes from Sheikh Ihsan or whoever else it might be, he's happy that it's coming from somewhere. You don't always have to be the first person that utters it. Does that make sense? So I would actually feel this from some of the seniors. And perhaps my brothers and sisters, this shows Khalid the... Is that Sheikh Khalid? Yeah, oh, Sheikh Khalid, man. Allah jazakallah khair. Sheikh Khalid, man, habibi.
Mashallah. That's a special guest, you know.
Mashallah,
tabarakallah.
Oh, Allah, I love Sheikh Khalid, man.
It's a tea for you, Sheikh.
Sheikh, I've been crying out for the last 4 days. I want to see you.
Mashallah.
Right? Jazakallah khair. Allah yafadak. Allah yafadak. Jazakallah khair. Sheikh Khalid, for those who don't know him, he's actually, you know, doing his masters, I believe. He spent quite a bit of time in Kuwait.
MashaAllah.
You know, Sheikh Farhan, Sheikh Khalid are from amongst the mashayikh that the people can benefit from, inshallah ta'ala. So anyways, you had people like that.
So you had that's the first category, the older ones that were like pretty thankful to you. Right.
And subhanAllah, that's tawadhu.
Yeah, 100%.
Like I'm, they're about to graduate with PhDs and masters, and they show, and it really touched me. Yeah, it showed me that ilm is actually really affecting their limbs. You see what I'm saying, right? And then you had those on the completely different side of the spectrum, right, who disagree with me, and their reasonings are substantiated with because of X, Y, and Z. You see what I'm saying, right? You've basically gone against this, you've done this, and I really appreciated that. They would show me open enmity. Wallahi, I love them for the sake of Allah. Like, I mean, across the spectrum, you've done X, Y, and Z, and because of you, I hate you. I give them salams, and they're not going to return the salams.
SubhanAllah.
I appreciated that.
No, but like, they were in your face, what they are is what they are.
You basically get what you see, Ali. Right? And I appreciate that. Why? He says, okay, he believes this, right? He's under the impression, not that it's right or anything, because it was an absolute batil. Why they were boycotting people. But I appreciate that it's coming from somewhere. Then you had those that, wallahi, I really struggled with. Honestly, really, really struggled with. And I don't think I've ever discussed this with you, right? Those who would come and laugh in my face, act like they're friends, and then behind my back, they're literally bickering, slandering, right, and ripping you to shreds. Like, why would you do that?
I've seen that.
Right?
I personally saw that. I saw,
you know, Allah,
that.
Me and him haven't even discussed. I don't know half the question you're going to ask me, right? But wallah, I didn't even know that you saw this or you felt this, but this is what I seen. And I really struggled with this. Like, you're laughing in my face, or you're going to institutions and organizations telling them, don't bring up Abu Taymiyyah, whatever have you. But then whenever you run into me, you talk to me as if we're best friends, yani. Right? And I really struggled with that. Wallahi, really hurt me, because some of those brothers were brothers that I really liked and respected. And then I'm hearing X, Y, and Z, and I'm just brushing it off. And then he just keeps repeating, you know. Akhi, let's have a conversation. We're tulab al-ilm. Right? Let's open up the books. We're students of knowledge. I love discussions. Right? And anyways, you know, that was that. But if you're patient, right? And then later on, quite a few of them apologized. I'm talking about even those who used to show me open enmity. When certain mashayikh of theirs started clashing with one another, all of a sudden I'm walking through the university campus and everyone's giving me salams again. And I'm thinking to myself, Abu Taymi, why have you changed? When in reality, I didn't. It's in fact, they changed and they realized their mistake and they were humble enough to admit so. And then of course you have those online and UK and whatever have you, mainly online. I make dua for these people. Sometimes I think to myself, and I don't mean this in a bad way, are they mentally challenged with the way they behave online especially? Yani, it really doesn't add up. So I make dua for these individuals that Allah Azza wa Jal betters their mental state and perhaps gives them insight and betters their understanding of the religion. Like, I honestly, when people attack me and when they say negative things about myself, yani, I honestly try to assess it. I try to be as self-critical as I can. You know, as much as I can, yani, as much as possible. Because, you know, we can't just dismiss every criticism that comes our way as hasad or as personal, he's got an issue with him, that's why he's doing that. We should try to assess it and perhaps maybe benefit from our enemies. We all want to be from those who the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talked about, right? وَمَا تَوَاضَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّهِ لَا رَفَعَ. Never does an individual humble himself except that Allah will raise him. And look what Ibn al-Qayyim says, right? Ibn al-Qayyim says, لَا تَصْرُحُ لَكَ دَرَجَةُ التَّوَاضُ حَتَّى تَقْبَلَ الْحَقَّ مِمَّنْ تُحِبْ وَمِمَّنْ تَبْغُضْ. Right? You will not be able to become a humble individual until you make it a habit to accept from those that you love and those that you hate. Right? So when the opponents, the detractors, the haters, if you want to call them that, whenever they say something, I try to look at it. Does he have a point? But sometimes, wallah, I really struggle to see through it. Yeah. A lot of time it's unverified information.
He said, she said.
Clear-cut lies, bad assumptions. A lot of the time it's ijtihadi-related issues. Us attempting now to find the right answer, it's a gray area, it's not black and white, we're trying to get the right answer, best course of action, and then they're attacking you for it. Habibi, wa tulab al ilm. I'll say this again, let's sit down. Wallahi, I don't believe I'm scared of anyone. And the reason why I say this, not because I'm trying to be arrogant or anything like that, someone else may have the truth, someone else may see something that I'm not seeing, and I'm happy to see that, right? Just convince me. Don't be running around saying, oh, I've advised Abu Taymiyyah, he didn't accept the advice, let's boycott him. Sometimes it's a back and forth. Like, how many discussions have me and you had? Do we see eye to eye to everything? Of course not.
But wallahi, I love you.
Well, I love you too, man. I love you more than you love me. But the point is, we had our back and forths. You may have given advice and I've given advice back, but they were back and forth. They're discussions between students of knowledge. What sometimes they do is, they'll go and they'll tell people, oh, he's been advised, khalas. Habib, that's not sincerity. Let's have a discussion. Let's open up the books. You know, let's go back and forth. I love that. I honestly love that. And every talib ilm loves that. And you shouldn't be afraid. Why? Right? Because we're all trying to find the truth.
I feel like something that's missing in this conversation, whenever this is mentioned, the benefits and harms that a person has to make a judgment call on is going to be one assessment on one way, and you might have a different assessment. But I am not obliged to follow your assessment of مصالح مفاسد وخف الضررين, the lesser of two evils. And I think this is where
Habib, like, hatta fatwa is not binding, let alone an advice that you gave. Sometimes you might come up to me and give me a piece of advice, and I say to you, Jazakallah khair, right? Or I might decide to even like have my two pence in the situation, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean
two cents.
I have to
two cents, not pence.
Oh, you guys are dollars, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Sure. Bucks. Right? So yani, I don't have to take that. Or I might see that this advice is completely out of place, but Jazakallah khair. I accept it from you, but don't expect me
to take it on.
And you shouldn't give advice expecting for it to be acted upon. And this is muhimun jiddan jiddan aydan. That questions your sincerity, right? But wallahi, you know, this issue of hasad, as Imam yani Ibn Taymiyyah, Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, I've come across even Ibn al-Arabi rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Maliki. Like, for example, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala one time said to his tulab, right, قال للطلابه اعلموا رحمكم الله, have knowledge. May Allah have mercy upon you, that أن الله عز وجل إذا منح شخصا من أهل العلم شيئا من العلم وحرمه قرناءه وأشكاله حسدوه. That if Allah blesses someone with knowledge that maybe his contemporaries and his classmates are deprived from, right, Allah chose not to give it to them, حسدوه, they begin to envy him. right? فرموه بما ليس فيه. And then they begin to accuse him of things that he's absolutely free from. Like Ibn al-Arabi, he says, إِذَا لَمْ يَجِدُوا لَهُ عُيُوبًا أَحْدَثُوا لَهُ عُيُوبًا. الناس إذا لم يجدوا له عُيُوبًا, if they don't find anything that they can accuse him of, they look for things to accuse him of. Like sometimes, man, it's just, I struggle to see through this, honestly. It's like, أخي, call the Prophet. Have this engagement with him. Sometimes
before
you can get...
calling them out on X, يعني have a private reach out, at least bare minimum call out. يعني, but I feel
now,
like
even if they called me out, honestly, I don't have a problem, but you're calling out something that you understood in that particular manner.
Yeah, but يعني, even Inkar al-Munkar, if they understand that, it has to be something that he's completely agreed upon.
Yeah.
Completely agreed upon. And if there's... يعني, there's اختلاف on the issue, then خلاص, يعني, it's not something that can be considered as munkar by default, right? نسأل الله السلام والعافية.
It reminds me of what the poet mentioned. The poet says, وَكَمْ مِنْ عَائِبٍ قَوْلًا صَحِيحًا وَآفَتُهُ مِنَ الْفَهْمِ السَّقِيمِ. You see people criticizing, condemning certain things, right? But in reality, Habibi, it's actually true what the guy is saying, but you've misunderstood it. You've completely misunderstood it, right? According to your shallow, narrow-minded understanding of that. But I wish sometimes it could actually be ilmi, but it's based on your understanding that you're criticizing. Like, a lot of the time it's just personal, man. A lot of the time it's personal. Sometimes what happens is, let's just say me and you had a heated argument, which is bound to happen. The scholars of the past had, heated arguments.
Sahaba,
sahih? Yeah. But then...
love after that.
You start يعني, going off on the guy and turning, masking it as if it's like a deity-related issue.
Allahumma sallim, sallim.
Sorry, I think we expanded on that a little bit too
much. No, I feel like I need to cool you down, Sheikh, so we'll go through some lighter questions, yeah? We'll go through some lighter questions. I don't feel like, I don't want to hype you up too much. I got another lesson after this. Sheikh, what's your favorite surah of the Quran?
Surah Yusuf.
MashaAllah, same. Same. I was actually listening to Sheikh Shaheen as well, Sheikh. What a recitation. Yeah. Favorite verse of the Quran, Sheikh?
I think when Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. I believe that's the ayah, right? Like on يوم القيامة, that which will become apparent for you is that which they weren't expecting. And that could be the sins that they carried out, that they took so lightly, and the good deeds that they may not necessarily have given too much thought when doing it, right? They were sincere, but they thought maybe this is just minor. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيء ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. Don't belittle any good deed. You don't know what's going to get you into Al-Jannah, even if it means meeting your brother with a pleasant face.
Sheikh, favorite recital of the Quran?
I think it's between Sheikh Al-Husari. I think he's in a completely different league.
Yeah.
But from those who are currently alive, I think Sheikh Yasir Al-Dawsari.
Really?
He's a beast, man.
Serious?
Especially when him and Sheikh Bandar Al-Balila are leading on the same night. Oh, that is a... Bandar
Fajr for some reason. Wow.
Yeah, even Sheikh Yasir, he's got something to him when it comes to Fajr. يعني.
Yeah, mashallah. Favorite Qira'a, Sheikh? Curious.
Come on, Akhi.
Ah, I got it.
Khalaf and Hamza, innit?
Really?
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your take on reading in Maqamat? See how we just chucked that in there? like, bang.
I think there's a heavy discussion, يعني, very intensified discussion with regards to this. And I looked into it, and honestly, I think I'll just leave it to the scholars, those of expertise, to give their take on it. Yani Sheikh Ayman Swaid is pretty passionate about this particular mas'ala. Others argue otherwise. But I think if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with a voice, go off of that, yani, instead of having a takalluf, really going out your way, or to try and sound like something when in reality, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you a wonderful voice, yani, go off of that.
Inshallah.
And if it comes naturally, one of these maqamat, then you're not blamed, yani. But they say a lot of these maqamat, they come from musical sounds and whatever have you.
Favorite hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sheikh? I know.
Are you putting me on the spot, man?
Kulit al-hadith, someone had to do it, you know what I mean? Just making sure that you Kulit Sharia boys know what's going on.
Yeah, sure, I always mention this one, but khalas, it's already become my favorite hadith. I tried to find another favorite hadith. My favorite hadith is always when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you don't leave something for the sake of Allah, innaka lan tad'a shay'an ittiqan illa illa ataka Allah khayran min rawah Ahmad. You don't leave something for the sake of Allah except Allah will give you that which is better. Yani out of being conscious of Allah Azza wa Jalla having a taqwa, Allah will always give you that which is better.
Sheikh, favorite moment of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One moment that just stands out to you.
I think when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca, and they were expecting that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would massacre them for everything that they'd done in the past. Right? He said to them, Antum tulaqa. Right? Antum, you guys are all free. You know, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم. It's what Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام said to his brothers, right? يغفر الله لكم.
Sheikh, right? Favorite companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Favorite companion. I think, subhanAllah, you know, it's Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Even with all the female, that, just because we need to do equal rights as well, yeah.
Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with everything that he went through, held on to his religion, right? Ahadun ahad. They put that huge rock on his chest, and then even then he didn't budge, right? When I hear those stories, and then compare it to awaqi', we're not going through anything, and still we are compromising our deen. That honestly, yani,
and the fact
really
that
stands
they
out
made
for me.
It the call for Badr, the first war.
Sahabiyat, of course, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. I think she's honestly top of the top because she narrated more hadith than men, right? She surpassed a lot of them, even though she was a woman. Well, does that show you that even though you have all these responsibilities and your obligations at home and everything, right? You can still become a huge benefit for the ummah, my sisters. Behind every successful man is a wonderful, great woman. Right? And she supported the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, the other female, the other wives of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they supported him, but she supported him in a way that we are still benefiting from up until this very day. I don't think there is a greater support than that. Aiding and assisting your husband in conveying that message, right? Preaching. That's exactly what she done. She carried the message, the divine revelation, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he sent down upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah that he preached.
Sheikh, favorite scholar of the past after the companions, radiallahu anhu ajma'in.
After?
Let's put after the tabi'in as well, come on, because it's like unfair, you know what I mean?
So Imam Abu Hanif is from the tabi'in, and then you have after that?
After, I'm saying after the tabi'in, khalas. From then till now. From then till someone is
It's hard for me, you've got the four imams.
Yep.
We can maybe put them.
Okay, put them aside.
Put them aside, right?
Nothing's generic.
Because I benefit a lot. It's hard 100%. To kind of compare them after that. I would say Ibn Taymiyyah.
Rahmatullah
alayhi. Like Imam al-Dhahabi said about him, وَلَهُ بَاعٌ طَوِيلٌ فِي مَعْرِفَةِ مَذَاهِبِ الصَّحَابِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ. And also the positions of the Imam al-Arba, he has in-depth understanding when it comes to knowing the positions of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and then also the positions of the four great Imams of Fiqh that he highly appreciated and defended so intensely.
I was expecting you to say that. Do you think he is misread and misunderstood?
Yeah, I think sometimes people misunderstand him and misread him.
No, I'm not talking about the other side, I'm talking about within.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
What do you mean within?
Amongst
Salafiyah,
the students, or
I honestly believe they should turn to him for a lot of their differences and disagreements.
People base their opinions on what they've heard of what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has said, but they haven't read Majmu' al-Fatawa and they haven't read his book properly. They've maybe stopped at Wasatiyah.
Yeah, that's the case with a lot. Yeah, and I've always said to students of knowledge, after you graduate, Habibi, you have to go beyond the Mu'asirin. You have to go beyond the contemporary scholars. As much as we benefit from them and we highly appreciate them, your research needs to go beyond that, well beyond that. You need to go classical, if that makes sense. A good place to maybe start when it comes to a lot of the issues and the disagreements that have caused so many issues, go back to Ibn Taymiyyah, right? When it comes to issues of al-hajar, boycotting one another, debating, and whatever have you, the rahmah that he had.
Opponents.
Yeah, even with his opponents. Ibn al-Qayyim would say, quoting, saying about Ibn Taymiyyah, the companions of Ibn Taymiyyah, they would say about him, وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لِأَصْحَابِي كَمَا أَنَّ ابْنِ تَيْمِيَةَ لِأَعْدَائِهِ. I wish I could treat my own friends with so much goodness the same way Ibn Taymiyyah treated his enemies. He would treat them with such goodness, he wouldn't budge on what he believes to be correct, but the way he would treat them, even though they would mistreat him. Right? Even, the incident of when one of his akbaru a'da, they used to give him so much trouble. Ibn al-Qayyim came to give him some wonderful news that this guy's passed away. And he actually got annoyed at him. He said, Tanakkar. Right? He wasn't happy with how I approached the situation and how I came to tell him. And then he got up, istarja, said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raju, and ran to his family and told them, today I'm going to take his place. So Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, despite the views that he had, that he sought to be, the right view and whatever have you, he was very rahim in the way he dealt with the people. Mm. Right, with his opponents, and even those that he disagreed with. Mm. And I think that's extremely important. Wallahi, read Ibn Taymiyyah, I'm telling you, a lot of brothers who claim to accept him, they will realize that Ibn Taymiyyah was somewhere and they are somewhere else. Mm. Like I would say, like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, when it comes to a lot of the positions that you see people boycotting one another for, yani, if you just went to him, a lot of these problems wouldn't be there. Mm. And I'm mentioning him because he's widely accepted by
everyone,
those who think in this particular way, this particular leaning and persuasion. Like Ibn Taymiyyah is my go-to guy individual, you know?
Rahmatullahi.
Yeah, rahmatullahi alayhi. That's why whenever I now try to explain aqidah, a lot of these controversial issues, I bring Ibn Taymiyyah. Mm. And sometimes you have those who don't like Ibn Taymiyyah that have completely misunderstood what he's saying and attributed all types of things to Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala that I believe he's absolutely free from. Mm. Like, you don't have to agree with everything, but at least try to represent him correctly. And that should be the case with everyone else as well. Like, sometimes there are certain, you know, religious personalities and figures of the past that we may disagree with, but sometimes we may attribute to them that which they're free from. I think it's important to just represent people accurately. And I want people to understand that, and this is across the board, where you study and the background that you come from, it at times affects, right, your persuasion and your leaning to whatever it might be, right? And that's just normal. However, sometimes what happens is we hear something that we're not familiar with and we straight away go into defense mode instead of maybe trying to understand where that individual is coming from. And I think this is very, very important. Well, I remember one time my sheikh said to me, right, even though it was because of a different situation, it was more like fiqhi related, nawazil, modern day fiqhi, you know, scenarios and whatever have you. He said, don't look at the fatwa, don't look at the conclusion, look at how that individual reached that conclusion. Perhaps it will make you appreciate why people have these positions, right? Mm-hmm. And the door of discussion is always open. I've never ever shut the door on anyone that wanted to have a discussion. Wallah, I've never done that. We are tullab al-ilm, inshallah ta'ala, from the cradle to the grave. Like Imam Ahmad would say, it's all the way to the grave. And we're open to have these discussions, to maybe research these issues, right? As talabat al-ilm, let's bring out the books, aadi. But the way that people go about doing things, like they'll jump onto social media and they're arguing with one another, whatever have you, I don't see that to be pragmatic. I think at times it's childish the way people go at one another on social media apps such as X, formerly known as Twitter. So, yani, the door is always open. Mm. I've always said this to the brother. Sometimes people say, oh, he's been advised and he didn't take the advice. What do you mean he's been? We've had a discussion and you think this, oh, me throwing my advice at him, khalas, he has to take it. Habibi, even fatwa is not binding. Mm. If a fatwa is given, it's not binding. Let alone someone's back and forth that you had or an advice that he gave. You may give me an advice and I say, Jazakallah khair. But yani, I don't see that advice to be in its place. Yani, I think that's a very, very important point. Anyways, long story cut short. It's important that we try to understand, okay, where did this individual get these ideas from, right? Maybe, you know, it was a misunderstanding of how he read something. Mm. And to have these pragmatic discussions, tulab al-ilm, mashayikh, behind closed doors, right? Otherwise, this fawda, this chaos online, honestly, just weakens the Muslims, especially the way it's conducted most of the time. The ulama of the past, they had pragmatic, civilized, right, sensible discussions, right? They would have it properly with amongst themselves, right? Even Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he would say the discussions they used to have with the Asha'ira, there was fundamental differences and he disagreed with them, but he goes, I was the most eager in order to bring about unity. He would sit down trying to explain to them, right, what he believed the positions of Abu al-Hassan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah ta'ala was. And I know others would disagree, and yani, it's a long discussion, but he tried his utmost best in order to reach some sort of understanding with regards to his masail. But he was trying, right? How many of us actually tries? Instead, we come out, this guy's this guy's that. I don't believe that is right, yani. This is not the right way to go about it.
No.
So anyways, and by the way, like wallahi, in the UK, I sit with people who disagree with me and we have these discussions, right? There are different schools of thought and they have a lot of respect for me, yani, across the board, because I'm not the individual who's gonna start
you know, fighting you or whatever have you. Like, I wish you guys could see the situation or at least conceptualize it, right? We are in a situation where, wallahi, it's ajeeb. It's absolutely ajeeb. The amount of calls that I get. Like, sorry, I'm going back here, but the other day an auntie calls, oh, my daughter's hanging around with a lesbian. And whenever I tell her to stay away from the lesbian, she goes, no, there's nothing wrong with it, you know? This is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with on the ground. Not that I'm saying that these creed or theology issues are not important. You should have these discussions, fine, right? But I think there's every... لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ
لِكُلِّ فَنِّنَ رِجَالٍ
نعم, صحيح. It's not for every Dom, Dick and Harry, right? To jump onto Twitter and start debating and... Even subhanAllah, when I was teaching Aqeedah not so long ago, I said right at the beginning, we're not studying Aqeedah, right, in order to jump online and to start fighting with people and start debating. We're trying to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? Learning about that which is going to strengthen our faith. Right? Because the whole world runs today on theology. Israel is not doing whatever they're doing except because of what they believe about the Palestinians. Likewise, China with our Uyghur brothers. Everything you think about, right, it runs on Aqeedah, it runs on theology. SubhanAllah, even Ibn Taymiyyah commenting on, you know, the Nusus, he says something very powerful. He says, فَقَلَّ مَنْ تَجِرْ فِي اَعْتِقَادِهِ فَسَادًا إِلَّا وَهُ يُظْهِرُ ذَلِكْ فِي عَمَلِهِ. Barely you will find someone who has a corrupt belief, except that it begins to show on his limbs. Right? One has a corrupt belief, it begins to show on his limbs. He'll start doing things. And we know the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةِ. There's a, you know, there's a piece of flesh inside your body. If that becomes rectified, everything else becomes rectified. If that becomes corrupt, everything else becomes corrupt. That's the heart. Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, mentioned in the 40 Nawawi hadith.
So while you intended thesis as a fiqh one, it's also related.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Without, like, this person didn't just wake up one day saying, I'm going to change my orientation. La wallahi. He began to believe a certain something. That he is no longer, or he was never this kind. This is what we hear today. I was never this anyway. I thought I was this. Now I figured out what my real orientation actually is. It's a belief. That now began to profess on one's limbs.
Sheikh, no. Last question, yeah? Because we're actually like getting told to get off soon. A sheikh that has touched your life, your heart, that you would recommend those who can benefit from their works if it's been translated and what have you, someone who's alive, or someone who, يعني, personally you've benefited from. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm not going to say it until maybe after.
I think I would say, wallah, there's a few.
How about just come on, we don't have time, just give me one.
Sheikh Saleh Sindi, maybe? Did you think I would say that?
Sheikh Saleh Sindi? Look, I met him when we said salam to him. I wouldn't think you'd say that.
Yani, I benefited from him immensely when it came to fiqh, which would maybe perhaps surprise you, even though his expertise is in aqidah. Habibi, a lot of people don't know, but his bachelor's was in sharia. His master's was in usul fiqh. Right? And by the way, he's from the Jamiat al-Imam Law as well. Mashallah. And then he done his PhD in Medina. And I don't agree with this whole concept of just because someone's PhD was in a certain field, he only becomes known for that. Habibi, it was Akhs al-Mukhtasar. I've studied fiqh with so many different, I would say, big shots, currently in the Hanbali Madhab. Sheikh Abdul Salam al-Shuwayir, Sheikh Amir, Sheikh Sulaiman, you know, Sheikh Sa'ad al-Khathlan, some of the Qasimis as well, Sheikh Khalid al-Mushaykhi, Sami al-Saghir. I benefited a lot immensely from them. But one thing that stood out for me, when he was teaching us Akhs al-Mukhtasarat, he would know the Hanbali Madhab very, very well. He'll give the positions, while at the same time he would give the evidences.
SubhanAllah.
And that's what I really liked about him. I think he's memorized Bulugh al-Maram, because the way he was going through the hadith, you could see, look, he's using the exact wording and this is what he's going through, hakadha.
He's a tank. Sheikh Saleh Sindi, I think, is one of the most underrated mashayikh.
Yeah, so when it comes to Aqeedah, when it comes to Usul Fiqh,
like I was actually thinking, you would say, sorry, Sheikh Yoshe. I actually would think that you would say Sheikh Abdul Razak.
Because yeah, Sheikh Abdul Razak, likewise, man.
Sheikh Abdul Razak, I said, Baha, you know what I mean?
Yeah, wallahi.
Yani, I just thought, that with Dawa, you studied that with him.
And I've been going on about that with Dawa this whole trip, yani. Because I believe it's one of those books that can really fix the situation of our Shabab, that speaks about the effects and consequences of sins. Like, wallahi, Sheikh Abdul Razak, likewise, man.
Sheikh, I know
these. Sheikh Uthman Khamis as well, inshallah. You know.
Oh, طبعاً. You have to get out of the Saudi thing. Yeah. Okay, خلاص. Sheikh, there's a lot of brothers and sisters who are seeing that which is happening outside, Gaza, Sudan, where have you, right? Kashmir, and there's a lot of Hamas inside of the hearts, and they are going off simply emotion, right? And this is a time where emotions are extremely high. But what is your advice to when the emotion sometimes leads people to that which could be categorized as somewhat extreme, in the sense of يعني, I think you understand where I'm going with it, okay. Right? حُذَثَاءُ الْأَسْنَانِ سُفَهَاءُ الْأَحْلَامِ, right? What's your advice to people who might just be يعني, focusing on this deen and practicing this deen with emotion alone? And I think that's a problem that you might want to touch on. Allahu a'lam.
Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, you know, we have to do things properly, right? As much as it hurts us, the heart bleeds to see what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Palestine. It is the world's biggest open prison, yani, right? Yani, our hands are tight in terms of what we can actually do. Our hands are tight, right? So, wallahi, just do the right thing. Do the right thing. Take guidance from reputable scholars in how to deal with the situation, and inshallah ta'ala one day we'll be able to assist them in a lot better way, you know, right? At this moment in time, you know, pay charity, right, to the avenues that are reliable, the charities that are reliable. Make a lot of dua for them, right? Make a lot of dua for them. Raise awareness about their situation. Subhanallah, it's through these clips online that we've had, you know, tens of thousands of people embrace al-Islam. Just across Europe, I was reading something the other day, a 400% increase in conversions across Europe, right? And to also really work on yourself. Work on yourself. Like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-mutamassiku bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati lahu ajru shaheed. The one who holds on to my sunnah at the end of times when the people have become corrupt, right? This person will get the reward of a shaheed. Right. Also, boycott whatever you can in terms of those who are funding the Zionists, right, and those who are massacring and committing this genocide against our brothers and sisters, right? And subhanAllah, I hear people saying, look, I want to be from the shuhada, and I feel like Allah has, you know, deprived us, and He's blessed those who are being bombed, those innocent people that are being bombed. What happens tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, if they pass away? Inshallah, they will find themselves in Al-Jannah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. They want to be in that position. The Messenger gave you that opportunity now. لَوْ أَجْرُ الشَّهِيدِ. Work on yourself. Better your current circumstance. Because the lines are being drawn, brother. Right? Sides are being chosen. Right? The way things are headed. Tomorrow when push comes to shove, and we don't know how to do basic things, then how are we going to really... You see what I'm saying?
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and preserve you, Ya Rabb.
Ameen. Allah jazakallah khair to the Masjid as well, ASWJ, and the rest of those who have had me on.
Jazakumullah khair.
And who are part of putting this together. Sheikh Farhan, benefit from him, inshallah ta'ala. He does classes, you know. And also Masjid Sunnah, they have classes. And our brothers here, they have classes. Like, you know, I've been telling the Shabab all the time. Any benefits from your local mashaykh? Don't just come to these... you know, one-off lectures that gives you that buzz and then your iman goes sky high. You need to keep your iman afloat. And mashallah, you know, our hosts, you know, they're doing a great job in teaching the people, yourselves and the rest of the brothers as well. You know, may Allah bless Sheikh Abu Bakr, Sheikh Kamal, everyone that's trying to teach the Muslim Ummah. And I know I've probably forgot a lot of names as well, but you know, these are some of the names that have come to mind at this moment in time.
Jazakallah khair wa ahsan Allahu ilayka wa barakallahu feek. Sheikh, for a person who graduated from Kulit Sharia, you're not too bad. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Like from a Kulit al Hadith student.
Oh, he's going into the whole debate of, you know, student wars of Kulit al Hadith against that. And
you know what I mean? I love you for the sake of Allah, Sheikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in your da'wah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from all evil. Ameen. I apologize for the short notice and for the rushed nature of this.
But
Sheikh, we have a...
I'm actually really glad that we came here because we didn't really do many of the...
ASWJ.
Yeah, Allah,
like, we are pleasured to have
I wanted to do it in Melbourne as well, but I wasn't in charge of the schedule. And I was actually really upset at them for not putting in... At least my good friend, yani, Sheikh Osama's masjid, he was actually in my class.
MashaAllah.
And I was a little bit upset by that. I think he was pretty angry as well, you know.
May Allah bless you, Sheikh. May Allah bless all the viewers. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.